Sometimes when I'm gone, some people say, well, where does Wayne go? Well, I wanted to show you a short video. It's only 20 minutes of what I did last week. What I do is I speak at large gatherings where this one, 4,000 church planters came together for training. Now, that's 4,000 new churches going into America. 8,000 were viewing by the internet as they streamed it individually to certain people that paid a certain fee. Well, so you're figuring about 12,000 of the new churches that will be going out. We, as a small church in Hawaii, get to influence all of these that go on. They asked me to talk on discipling, but it's called discipleship, where we kind of get into a pattern where everyone runs to a crusade or runs to a concert where it's one on many, and these great speakers come or great musicians. Pretty soon we celebritize or make celebrities of these different people, when really God's word says, no, it's really not one on many. It's really one-on-one where the discipleship happens. And that's when you transmit life from one to another. I talk about the good parts and the abuses of technology. And so you'll hear about that. It's in a large venue in Orlando last week. Now, on the side, you'll see someone taking notes, a young man that is really well-versed at caricature and note-taking, and you'll see it graphically presented. It's very creative. And then I'll talk a little bit about technology, as I said, and I'll make a joke where you'll need to get a little context of it. Right before I spoke in this huge, well-financed conference, the video comes up, and it has no sound on it. And so all of these young church planters start cheering because, you know, in our little churches, that happens all the time. They're not supposed to do that at a big old national conference. So they thought, oh, this is cool. When they mess up, that makes us feel good. So I'll make comment on that. But let's take a look at where I talk about from going from teaching to modeling one-on-one, and why it's so important that all of us get involved, because the goal, even of New Hope, isn't to make one person a celebrity. It's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, where Jesus alone is the one who we focus on and make famous. So this is called going from teaching to modeling. And then right after that, I need to share something with you that's very important to the future of this church. But let's take a look first at this called discipleship from teaching to modeling. Hello, everybody. It's so good to be back in the land of the white people. It's a joy to be here. Thanks to Dave, and thank you so much to Exponential for allowing me to be here. And thank you for those of you joining us from all over the world. It's just a wonderful family. We call it in Hawaii, ohana. Say that with me. Ohana. That's all of us together, because we're all on the same team. How many of you are glad we're all on the same team, going the same way to the same place? I want to talk about going from teaching one-on-many to modeling one-on-one. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, what I've told you or taught you in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will do the same thing also. From teaching to modeling. Mark chapter 3, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority over the demons. But the first thing is he chose 12. Their first assignment was what? To be with him. His name was Jamie Barnes. He was a non-Christian soccer player on the team. And I saw the talent that this guy had. And he's just a young kid, 11th grade. And I said, you know, I want to invest in this guy because he seems like a great halfback, you know, on our soccer team. And so I began inviting him. I was a Youth for Christ pastor at that time, and I invited him, and I would do some teaching, and I'd do all kinds of different clubs and different celebrations and crusades. And he was pretty staunch. He was just very reserved. And I started a Bible study with just a few, and I said, Jamie, could I ask you to come? And if you come, I will buy your breakfast. I thought bribery was spiritual. And so I said, I'll buy your breakfast, and I'll take you to school. He said, okay, coach. Well, he lived about 15 miles out of town down an old dirt road in a little farm, and I would drive down there and pick him up at 6:30 every Wednesday morning. And this went on, and oh, maybe 2 months, I pick him up every Wednesday morning. And one morning, I crept into his gravel driveway and opened the door, and he got in, and he sat next to me, and he was very quiet. I said, "Jamie, how are you?" He looked at my Bible on the front seat there, and he said, "You know, Coach, I don't believe in that." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "I don't know if I ever will." I said, "Oh, okay." And I'm driving back out his driveway, and he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, "Hey, Coach, if I never accept your Jesus, will you still come and pick me up every Wednesday morning?" And at first I thought, no way am I gonna do this. But out of my mouth, I said, "I'll still come and pick you up every Wednesday." The next Wednesday I picked him up, and then the third. And after breakfast, he said, "Hey, Coach, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How do we pray? Because I need Jesus into my life." And you know, I looked at, it went from teaching to modeling. You see, God can use a mind to reach a mind, but he uses a heart to reach a heart. And it wasn't until he could see the real me, aside from the one on many, "Are you real, Coach? I mean, do you have a heart like mine?" You see, that's what discipleship is all about. That's why Jesus said, "I need you to be what? With me." See, we can become orators and eloquent people. And one on many, we can do it. I mean, you see them all over and they're great. But I think what the Lord is saying is, I gotta use a heart because I want to reach hearts. A mind will reach a mind, but only a heart will reach a heart. In a recent poll that was given out, they said, what is the greatest asset to the church today? What has given it the greatest innovation today? And hands down, you know what they said? The answer was technology. I mean, look what we're doing now, right? Technology. Well, almost. Isn't it great to see something like this fail? I just like, yes, that's me. I can go home now. Dave, thank you for intentionally doing that, because that was very encouraging to all of us. Say thank you to Dave for that foible. But you know, hands down, they said technology. Technology is the greatest advancement for the church today, and I wish they would have said a return to discipleship. Because technology is great. I mean, you got open sources, you got this and that. Nothing wrong with it. I use it too. But you know what happens is, if we're not careful, we live in quite an impersonal world where you have one on many, you hear an eloquent or oration that goes out, but we don't have to touch each other. But you've got to do that if you're going to reproduce. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. This sounds really bad, forgive me, but with technology, you can inspire, you can encourage, you can give information, but you can't reproduce. I know it's messing your minds up, but you only reproduce up close. You see, you can get pornography at distance. You only get reproduction up close. And we as shepherds and leaders, you're going to teach what you know, but ultimately we're going to reproduce what we are. And we have to be able to be up close. And that's why Jesus said, I need you to be with me, because I need you to have a womb to reproduce, not just convince for a season. So the one on many has to go up close to one on one. Another thing that's dangerous about technology, and I love it, by the way, so I am endorsing it, but it's easy. When you have so much, you have instant sermons, instant videos, instant films, you have instant everything right off of the internet. You just download it, plug and play. But it makes it almost, here's a danger. In these days, it's easier to duplicate than it is to incarnate. And discipleship is incarnating life. It's reproducing life. It's not just inspiring and informing and giving content. But what happens is we start to duplicate rather than incarnate, and it becomes really easy. And we lose that sense of life that's within us, the potential that Chris was talking about, that God knows. That'll never go from latency to reality unless you're willing to incarnate a little bit. And you can almost get a placebo effect with technology if you're not careful. So then after a while, we don't want to work hard at praying. We just want the benefits of someone who did. We really don't want to work hard at our sermon. I just want the benefits and the success of someone who did. I really don't want to pray and weep over my marriage. I just want a package that'll help me to see, like, make it feel like I did. And then what happens is we pass that on. You see, right now you hold within your hand the DNA of tomorrow's church. You are the shapers of tomorrow's church. Why? Because tomorrow's church is going to become just like we are today. Because we reproduce who we are. You want tomorrow's church to be a people fully devoted to Jesus? What must we be? Fully devoted to Jesus. You want them to be authentically devoted to their marriage? What must we be to ours? Fully devoted and authentic. You want them to love God's word with all their hearts? We must love God's word with all our heart. And that's where life starts to happen. It's not just one on many. Can I say this? It starts to go to one on one. That's where you go from teaching to modeling, one on one. One on one. You say, but that's too slow. I just want to get bigger stuff. Yeah, off of the internet, you can get logos, branding, graphics, make everything big, because the bigger the better, right? Go back to Jesus. Ask him. He had 120 in the upper room after 3.5 years of ministry. That's all you have? Yeah, but you see, they will change the world. Yeah, but what about people like Andy Stanley and Rick Warren and Bill Hybels? It just went so fast. Yeah, but they're one in a million. Really, there's 118 million people that go to church every Sunday. Take the top 100 leaders. It'll be like those guys. They're just one in a million. I mean, we're so blessed with them. But they're elites. That I tell people, when you run a marathon, don't line up with the Kenyans. You'll stay with them for the first, like, 8 yards. I don't care if you dress like them and stay in the sun to get darker. You know, it's just, you ain't gonna cut it. It's like walking around with a jersey that says Tebow on the back. You know, it's like, whoa, look at this little kid. He's Tebow. No, he's not. He wishes he were. And sometimes with these elites, we just kind of worship and try to example off of them and duplicate them. And you just can't. You can't run with Kenyans. Say, well, who do you line up with? I line up behind old ladies when I run. No, you pay someone that's going your speed and just a little bit faster. So it'll keep you honest. Well, what do you do with these elites? Learn from them. Learn the regimen, the prayer that they put into it, the disciplines, the regimen of their exercise. Learn the foundation, not just try to emulate their success. Learn their regimen. What do you do in the morning? Do you pray? Do you work hard? Do you study? How message prep? How often do you do that? I bet they don't get it off the internet all the time. Now, you're going to come to where you hit the wall. You're going to need it off the internet and then take it. I do. I take Chris Hodges' stuff. And, you know, but we need to do that, and that's great. But you understand, that cannot be normalcy. It has to be an anomaly. It has to be once in a while. But you want to start to incarnate. And so start. You say, wait, but that's too slow. Well, what about Bill or what about Rick? That's one in a million. But listen carefully. There's a million in one of you. There's a million in one of you if you'll start one by one. Well, where do you start? I mean, it's slow. Discipleship is a lot slower than just trying to do it big. But it's so much better. But it's too slow. Oh, no, 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 no. Sometimes we have this hurry-up disease in America, thinking that if we hurry up, then it'll buy us more time. It steals your time. Start small, but start now. Choose one person that you can invite. Choose one. His name was Ed Kimball. Ed Kimball invited a shoe salesman, invited him to a crusade. Just one. Shoe salesman received Christ. His name was Dwight L. Moody. D.L. Moody grew in Christ and was discipled. And then, over the years, he became a crusade person and invited someone named J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman received Christ, was then discipled, invited a friend of his whose name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a baseball player, just one. Billy Sunday received Christ and then started working with the YMCA. They were going to do a crusade, so he invited a speaker named Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham preached, and a young 16-year-old kid came. His name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham received Christ, just one. In 1972, Billy Graham preached in Dallas, Texas, at a place called Expo 72. One of the nights, it was a campus crusade where 82,000 Christians came. He stood up and he challenged the people there. Has God called some of you into ministry? And that night, a young 19-year-old boy stood up that was saved for 3 days. He stood up and said, yes. And that was me. That was when I was 19 years old. And now I'm 60. Just one person. But can you see, you might not be one in a million, but there's a million in you. If you will do it one by one, just start small, but start now. You say, how? I encourage people with the life journal to do life journaling, and with the SOAP method. It's very simple, and I do it 4 times a week with other people. It's just a discipleship group. Sure, our church is large, but I've got a disciple, because that's where a heart will reach a heart. Mind may reach a mind, but a heart will reach a heart. I meet with them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I have a leadership class that I teach at the church, but I do devotions, and we just meet at a local Starbucks, and we have our Bibles. We open our Bibles up, and then we take our journal, our life journal, and we do a soap thing. We read for 20 minutes, we journal for 20 minutes, and then we share for 20 minutes. And we do it right there, right out in the open. And someone said to me, well, Wayne, why do you do it in Starbucks? Why don't you hide, do it somewhere else, you know? I said, I'm going to do it right in public. Why? He said, because, you see, I say to them, it just might be a small group, maybe 2 of us, maybe 3 of us. But when my Bible is open, how many people do you think are going to walk by me to go get a latte or a venti or a grande coffee? Well, in Starbucks I'm at, probably 200 people. And I said, now, when they come by me, they're going to look and say, I wonder what they're doing there. Oh, that's a Bible. Now, 200 people are going to go by 4 days a week. That's 800 people are going to pass by me. Just, I'm not doing anything. I'm just reading my Bible, discipling a person. They're going to be listening now. 800 people times 4 weeks, 3,200 in 1 year, 38,400 people will walk by me. And how many of those 38,400 people will walk by me and look at the Bible and think, I wouldn't be in this divorce if I would have been doing that. I wouldn't be losing my job or my kids if I would have been doing that. I think I need to get back to Jesus. 38,000 through discipling. You start small, but start now. We've got to go from teaching to modeling and from one-on-many to one-on-one And here's the cool thing. It goes from that to many on one. One on many, one on one, but here's a cool thing. Many on one. What does that mean? If we'll all be discipling and touching on people, you're going to find someone out there getting multiple touches because we are out in a city and we're all sharing and modeling and touching. Let me end with this story. Her name is Moana, and this was before the TSA started stopping us at the gates and checking us out. And I was catching a flight from Hilo to Honolulu, and I was waiting to get onto the airplane when this lady ran up towards the gate, and in her hand was a box of records. And she said, I've got to get on the plane. I said, well, maybe they'll hold it. She said, oh, no, I got to return the car. The rental car is right there. I don't know what to do. I got to get these. I've got a meeting. I said, I'll tell you what. You give me that box of records. I'll buy your ticket, and you return that car. I'll wait for you at the gate. She says, no, this is really important. This is my life. These records are bank records. I said, don't worry about it. I said, give it to me. I'll buy your ticket. Go return your car. Hurry. I know I got to get on this plane, she said. So zoom, she's gone. I've got these bank records. I go and buy her ticket for her. In those days, it wasn't that much. It's $39. So I bought it for her. I'm waiting at the plane. And she kept huffing and puffing. Oh, thank you, thank you. And I said, here's your ticket. Here's your seat. Come sit right here. And she sat next to me, breathing really hard. Oh, my goodness, thank you, thank you, thank you. I would have lost my job. She said, thank you. She said, no, thank you. Let me pay you for this. I said, oh, no. I considered an honorarium, but then I thought, no, it's all right. You don't need to. She said, well, let me pay you for it. I said, no. She said, oh, just thank you, thank you, thank you. She said, what's your name? I said, Wayne Cordero. She said, oh, God. I said, no, just one of his servants. She said, no. You pastor the church there in Hawaii. I said, yes. She said, everybody in my office has been telling me I have to go to your church. And now God is telling me I have to go to your church. And what I had found out was that there are a whole bunch of Christians all touching on one person. Because discipleship was just something they did. It wasn't waiting on a crusade or waiting to go to a big church to hear a speaker. It was that we are understanding that we got to go from teaching everybody to modeling in life. And it goes from one on many to one on one to, here's the cool thing, many on one. He said, everybody's been telling me this. I go to church. I went to the supermarket. There was a little boy there that was packaging stuff, and he told me about your church. She says, this is crazy. Everybody is telling me about your church. I said, well, then you probably should go. She said, I'm coming. The next Sunday, she and her husband came. Both of them received Christ that Sunday. And I think, wow. Let me ask you this question. Who are you investing in? Is there anybody? Can you name them? Three of them. Two of them that you meet with. Here it is. Start small, but start now. Can you name a young lady that you can say, hey, let's do devotions once a week and then just show her your heart? Because that's where lives change. It's heart to heart, not mind to mind. Heart to heart, up close. You can't reproduce over cyberspace. And much of Christianity, the way we grow is organically. We grow as a church by reproducing a life of Christ into one another. That only happens up close. Who's on your card? Would you take this card out? Everyone got one of these. Take one of these out. Bob Buford mentioned this in his video. And would you be so kind as to take a few moments and put it into application? Can you think, brothers, sisters, of 2, 3, 4, 5 people, you say, you know, this month I need to start investing. Just like when I said, I've got to invest in Jamie Barnes. Who's your Jamie Barnes? Who's a young lady, sisters, that you can invest in just to invite once a week? Hey, can we do a life journal together? let's just meet every Tuesday. I'll buy you coffee and begin to invest. It may be an Amy Carmichael. It may be an Elizabeth Elliot. Brothers, it might be a Billy Graham. It might. You see, well, I'm not like one of those one in a million. No, but there's a million in you. It will start one by one and go from teaching to modeling. Who would they be? Would you write their names down here? Write those. It'll change, but start. Maybe it's a guy named Bill or Steve or Ann or Betty. I can invite her. I can ask her to come. Next Thursday, I can start discipling her. We'll just have coffee. And listen, the serendipity of it is not only will she get so much out of it, so will 30,000 people that walk by you as you talk with Ann or Bill or Chuck. The musicians are going to play, and just take a few minutes, would you, just to write those names down, and let's take something of reality out of here. Instead of just good concepts, let's let God alter our lives in such a way that we go from just the one on many, which we need, to one on one, so that if we'll all do that, we'll go to the most beautiful stage of all. Many on one. God bless you.
Understand that if we all begin doing life groups, and if we'll all do it, then we'll be talking about it all over the city, and then one person will get touched again and again and again and again and again by different people, and they'll say, man, I gotta get to church. That's that many on one. Sometimes we think revival happens when you get a better speaker, better, higher, stronger celebrity, and then more and more and more people come, but it's still one on many. Nothing's happening in the grassroots. It's when the grassroots start working. That's where the roots take place, and the nutrients happen when we as God's people start saying, hey, I can do that. You see, even if you're only 10 days old in the Lord or you're 10 years in the Lord, doesn't matter. Even if you're way up here, there's always going to be someone who knows more than you and someone who knows less than you. Well, I'm only 10 days in the Lord. Okay, there'll be people who know more than you and there'll still be people who know less than you. Doesn't matter where you are, you can meet with somebody somewhere. And once we all start getting involved in life groups or start one or whatever, or just call a friend, then you start to do it all over the place. And then people will walk by everywhere they go. And God's going to speak to them again and again. If we just huddle into our own little hunker down little buildings and we hide from everybody, they can be 15, 20, 30 days and never see or hear a Bible or see a Christian. But if we're out there doing what we do here, my goodness, that's when it starts to take place, where it's many on that one person that's going by. In your bulletins, you'll see that you'll have a worksheet here. It's not as small as the one I was showing. Next week, I'm actually going to make some business card size where you can write a few names in your wallet. On the card, put it in your wallet and say, I'm investing in, this is my Jamie Barnes, A, B, C. And then call them up and then say, hey, let's meet every Tuesday. Let's, you know, do a life group together. Maybe only two people. It's all right. But you'd be surprised what God can do if we all start to do that. So you'll get that next week. It'll be a wallet size card. And this is a worksheet today.